I hope you all enjoy the weather that's coming and that you all stay safe, but it is good to see all of you here for this new year. Today marks the official end of not only the 2024 calendar year, but the end of the Christmas season, as in the 12 days of Christmas. It's the end. Technically, you could have justifiably kept all your decorations up until tomorrow, but that really is the limit. After that, the HOA does have the right to say Christmas is technically over. This is the end of it. And we celebrate today with the remembrance of the visit of the Magi, the wise men, of which we don't know how many. They're three gifts, but not necessarily three people. It's plural. There's at least two, but it could have been dozens. It could have been a lot. We don't know. We don't know how many came, but today marks the traditional day in which Christians have always remembered the visit of the Magi, these travelers from the east who are guided by a star, who are journeying far to worship this newborn king of the Jews, not their king, not their God, not their people. Yet they travel across countries, plural, bringing gifts, three in particular. A very odd assortment of gifts, technically speaking. Okay, gold is a traditional gift for a new king on an inauguration. Frankincense is a traditional gift to be offered as an incense you burn in a temple for a god. And myrrh is a traditional burial spice to prepare the dead. They bring those things across the world, following a star, to find a king that is not theirs. Their arrival, their actions, they reveal this profound truth. That God's kingdom transcends national boundaries, cultural borders. Their journey symbolizes this universal reach of God's grace, inviting all people, insiders and outsiders alike, to come and worship. Their gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh, it foreshadows this identity and the mission and the life and death of this Jesus as King, God, and Savior. So as we hear this familiar story, I hope we can listen with fresh ears, marveling at how God draws people from every corner of the earth to his Son, this light of the world. And may we too follow the light of Christ and offer our lives in worship today and this year. The word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, saying, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This story of the Magi in Matthew 2, it unfolds against a backdrop of political tension, divine revelation, and contrasting responses to the birth of this King of the Jews. The scene begins with the arrival of the Magi, these wise men from the east, following the star that leads them to Jerusalem. And their quest is clear. They seek the one born king of the Jews so they can worship. The text says pay homage, but that is a synonym for worship in this context, to be specific. This is a time period in which the line between king and divinity was so blurred that they kind of almost always went hand in hand. And this announcement stirs up all sorts of trouble. It frightens Herod, and then the most understated couple of words in the passage, and all of Jerusalem with him. It turns the entire capital city into upheaval because there's a new king. Nobody told us there was a new king. We didn't know it was Inauguration Day already. There's a new king? Has anybody told Herod? And King Herod, by the way, who's not actually a king but has called himself a king, is a ruler who is known primarily for his paranoia. In these couple of years, there's Nero, who's the definition of paranoia, and then just slightly below him is Herod. They're both have this ruthless grip on power, and whenever anyone threatens it, they tend to go crazy. I mean, so Herod never quite goes burning his own capital city down while playing the violin crazy, but it's really, really close. He's a deeply disturbed human being. And he sees this new king as a threat to his throne and immediately devises a plan to kill children. All of them that could possibly be the king, right? That part of the story is not in our reading today, but fill in those blanks. We know that part of the story. It's awful. And the religious leaders, they're summoned by Herod to reveal this prophecy of the Messiah's birth, and so they very quickly tell him, it's Bethlehem. Go bother Bethlehem. Leave us alone. And they remain surprisingly indifferent. Strangers show up and say the king has been born, and they've been waiting for this king for over 400 years. You'd think they'd be excited. They're terrified and want nothing to do with it. So they just pass on the news. They tell Herod what the prophecy says, and then they go back to business as usual and try to keep their heads out of it. Despite their knowledge of the scriptures, they make no move to worship the promised Messiah. They don't want it. Send it back. In contrast, these Magi, outsiders to Israel and the covenant, demonstrate extraordinary faith and determination. They continue their journey to Bethlehem, led by a moving star, which if you've ever tried to navigate by stars, you should know that they don't move. So if you find one that does, it's kind of a big deal. They are overwhelmed with joy when they find Jesus. They bow and worship. They present their gifts. Their offerings that symbolize his kingship, his divinity, and his future suffering. They've already got his whole reign figured out. And they're not even from around here. This stark contrast in response is crucial. Herod reacts with fear. The religious leaders are apathetic at best. And the Magi, the outsiders, they're the ones who respond with faith, seeking to worship the king. Nobody else. The star guides the Magi, and it symbolizes God's initiative, calling those from outside the borders to find the Son. This story reveals that God's kingdom is not exclusive. It's expansive. It embraces all people, even those considered outsiders. In fact, they're the ones who figure it out first. And like the Magi, people today are still seeking. Some still follow stars, looking for meaning and hope and truth, because this world is just so covered in darkness, it's hard to see which way is up anymore. The Magi's journey reminds us that the human heart always has longed for something greater, a light that guides us through uncertainty, that draws us towards something bigger. My favorite scene in all of Pixar movies, and all of them combined, my favorite Pixar scene of all time is the little neighbor kid in The Incredibles who sits on his scooter waiting every day to see something amazing. Because just one time he got a glimpse of his neighbor picking up the car, now he's convinced that if he just sits there and waits every day, he'll see something amazing. And so one day Mr. Incredible says, "What are you doing? Why do you just sit here every day?" And the kid says, "I don't know, I just waiting to see something amazing, I guess." And that captures, I think, all of us who are just sitting around waiting to see something amazing. Whether you're still waiting for your letter to Hogwarts or you're still trying to find out if you can use the Force to turn off the light on the other side of the room, I don't know what it is, but we're all sitting around waiting for something amazing. But our world also reflects everybody else in this story too. Herod's reaction to the news of a new king definitely mirrors the fear and resistance that we often see when power or control feels threatened. Whether that's politics, relationships, personal ambitions, unidentified drones, it doesn't matter. When you feel a sense of control, we go off the rails, don't we? We fall into this trap of protecting our own kingdoms rather than submitting to God's. Or the indifference of the religious leaders. That doesn't resonate with modern challenges? Of course it does. Despite their access to scripture and knowledge of God's promises, they still fail to do anything. In our own lives, how often do we know what the right thing to do is, but we just don't? Or we fail to respond with faith or with obedience? This story, it challenges us to consider the divisions in our world, the cultural, the racial, the national, all the things that keep us apart. And every year, it seems like we make new reasons to stay apart, new reasons to identify ourselves as different from someone else, to separate. But the story of the Magi calls us to rethink who belongs in God's kingdom. It's a kingdom that welcomes all, no matter their background or history. And it begs us to ask, how are we reflecting this openness in our own lives? In this story, we see ourselves as seekers, as those tempted by fear or indifference, and as people called to break down barriers, to welcome all into God's redeeming light. And the question of the text is, what will you do? Who will you be? Will you be like Herod? Will you be like all the other religious leaders? Will you be like the Magi? Who will you be? This story reveals an abundant grace of God who reaches beyond boundaries to invite all people into the kingdom. This guiding star symbolizes God's leading from distant places, all peoples to this newborn king. It is a powerful reminder that God's grace is not confined to a single nation or people, but is extended to everyone. No matter how much we might want to bogart it or keep it to ourselves, you can't. It's uncontainable. This journey demonstrates the truth that God is always drawing seekers toward God. They followed the light given to them, and God met them with the ultimate revelation, this child, his son, Jesus, the Christ, the King. In this divine encounter, it underscores that it is not human effort, but it is God's grace that makes such moments like that encounter possible. The Magi could not have come by any means other than following God's light. So God, and all of God's grace, draws people to himself. And the Magi's response is one of worship, because what else could you do? They didn't just acknowledge that Jesus was king, they knelt. They didn't have to, they chose to. They recognized that he was the savior of all people. And their faith, I think, demonstrates that God calls the unlikely into the kingdom, showing that proximity to the promises of God, whether that's in Israel or beyond, does not guarantee a response of faith. Herod should have been kneeling too, but he never intended to. The religious leaders should have known exactly who this Jesus was, but they didn't want to know. And yet this kingdom, God's kingdom, is for all people. And it is his grace that makes this invitation possible. And just as he led the Magi through the star, God continues to call people from every nation to come and worship Christ. His grace is not earned or deserved or guaranteed. It is a gift extended to all who are willing to receive it. In contrast to the fear of Herod or the indifference of the religious leaders, the Magi respond with joy, with worship. To some, an openness of the kingdom to all is good news, and to others, it's terrifying news. The Magi's action to worship, their choice to worship, it models the proper response to God's revelation, to God's choosing to bring us this king. Humility, reverence, these are what we offer as one's best. These are the gifts we bring. And it's through this story that we see that the light of Christ shines even especially in the darkest of places, drawing even the most unlikely people. Because God's grace, it's universal. It reaches far beyond what we can expect, what we can imagine. And just as the star led the Magi, God's light continues to shine, drawing people from all places, all backgrounds into the kingdom. The message is just abundantly clear, isn't it? The grace of God is for all people, and no one is beyond his reach. God's grace is not bound by time or place. It is for all who seek, no matter what their past is or was, or what their station in life is or was. Because in Christ, we find hope for a divided world. God's kingdom breaks down barriers. Race, nationality, status, aisles. It unites people under a reign of love and peace. It's a truth that challenges us to reflect inclusivity in our own lives. As followers of Christ, we are called to reflect the inclusivity of God's kingdom. We welcome outsiders, those who are often overlooked and marginalized. But are we living in a way that reflects that love and that acceptance? God's kingdom is not about earthly power or status, but about the reign of Christ over all people. And if we live out this truth, then we are shining that light into a dark world, and in some ways we become the stars that others can follow. Offering the good news of God's grace to any who would listen, to all who would listen. And like the Magi, we too respond with worship, with devotion. They brought their best gifts to Jesus, recognizing his worthiness. We are called to offer our lives, our talents, our time, our treasures, and worship to the King of Kings. Every act of service and generosity becomes an offering to the one who has given us everything. And so we celebrate our King today in communion, a table that is prepared for all who seek to bring their gifts to Jesus. Just as the star led the Magi to Jesus, this bread, this cup, lead us to his grace, inviting us to remember his sacrifice, to receive his life. The Magi brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, acknowledging Jesus as King and God and Savior. And at this table, we bring our hearts, offering our worship, our gratitude to the one who gave his life for the salvation of the world. Because this meal is a foretaste of God's kingdom, where people from every nation and every background are invited to share in the light and the love of Christ. So come, taste, see that the Lord is good. May all who seek him come, because all who seek him are welcome at this table of grace. Let's stand and sing.